What energy. We'll sing praise and glory to his name for eternity. Amen. And now we just have some time to do to sing and dance. And so we praise the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. We trust that all those who have joined us online and also joining the praise, and wherever you are right now, you're dancing and you're singing from the depth of your heart. Hallelujah. It's good for us to be here. Welcome somebody to church. It's good to see you today. I'm happy you're here today. Welcome somebody. Happy you're here. Always good to see you. It's good to see you. It's good for us to be here. Come on, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. You may please be seated. You may please be seated. All right. So last week we began to talk about the master returns, in talking about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important. We said this as this teaching is a foundational teaching. Actually, every believer should understand, should know this, understand it, and be guided by it. Every believer should know this, should understand this, and be guided by it. Know it, understand it, and then live by it. You should live by every believer. Every believer. Amen? And so we began to look at that last week. And this teaching is very important. It's very important. This teaching is very, very important. So I want you to pay close attention to the teachings, and then to follow the scriptures, put them down, and then study them yourself when you get home. It will change. It will give you power. It will give you the strength to adjust, to change, to adjust your life and what you do. It will give you the strength to do all that we do in church for the sake of His name. I'm telling you, you have that strength. You'll be able to do. People wonder, you know, I think I was saying this also last week. The pastor, why does he do this? I've told you. I say it's clear. It's for a reward. People don't understand. Why are you able to do this? And they say, I want to be able to do it. But you have to have motivation. You see, in the motivation, he has given us a motivation. Rewards. There are rewards. The rewards. We were going to look at that last week, right? We said rewards are a great motivation. The Bible says Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. We talked about that last week. No, Jesus saw the reward in front of him and went through what he went through. Because and you're like, how come you have the strength to keep on doing what you're doing? How can you? I know sometimes I want to live like this, but I cannot. When you consider and remember rewards, it does guide you. It does give you energy. You are able to give. How you give? How can somebody take this much and give? We were talking about this last week as well. We say, how can somebody give this much? Because they don't. You know, you can't give that. You can't give because it will go. It's not finished. No, but when as a believer in Christ Jesus and you understand rewards, come on, it doesn't finish for you. It's not. It's not done. It's coming back. Hallelujah. So today, I want to do some other work, but since that's the cross, no, I told you last week, sorry, don't mind me, are we together? Yeah. All right. I told you last week that we cannot get into the business of rewards when we're not even certain our destination, the matter of our destination, and it's true and it's important. So in teaching this, I said, I have to stop and go back to destination. And we said something last week. We said our destination is a consequence of our belief, not about what we do. Now, then our compensation is a consequence of our behavior. I like it like that. You see it now. So our destination is a consequence of our belief. What we believe determines whether we go this way or that way. And then what we receive is now a consequence of how we behave. So when we go this way, what will happen when we go this way? How much will I get different from how much will somebody else get? You now begin to understand why the first century believers, why they cared. Why some believers today still care about soul winning. Give you see, they all say soul winning. They don't. They say, no. Because there's a reward, there's something, there's a passion. That's why we're doing it. There's something, there's a reward coming after this life. You know, I really feel that. Okay, let me show you one scripture. There are so many scriptures. Let me show you one scripture just to show you that it's something that the believers had in their hearts as they walked. They had it. It's everywhere through scripture. Jesus said it several times. We looked at them. Maybe we'll look at some of them today. But right now, we no longer pay attention. And I believe the Lord wants to do something great in your hearts. I believe so. I'm not just saying that to be saying something good. You know, I just came from Eternal Weight of Glory. I never expected that I'll be teaching this now. It's not even in my course this year. I never expected. But I believe that God wants to do something with us. And that's why I just talk about Eternal Weight of Glory just now. And I'm surprised I'm doing this again. It's just when I was talking, I'm like, why am I even doing this? I don't talk about Eternal Weight of Glory, but this is something, this again takes us a little deeper and in that direction for us to see. This will give you strength to live for Christ. You know that there's something in front of you. You know, you look at, it will only be beautiful and just for there to be a compensation. It will only be beautiful and just. If not, it will not be. If not, nothing will make sense. There's no compensation. Nothing will make sense. You see, evil people just go. You say they just got away with it, finished like that. And there's nothing you can do. You're oppressed, just oppressed and goes. There's nothing you can do about it. Really, there's nothing you can do about it. But there's a compensation coming. Are you here? Everybody knows that. Everybody desires that balance. And it's when we're talking about reward and Jesus, the second coming of the Master, then the balance will come. That now brings everybody to a state of peace and everything becomes okay. I've told you, everything becomes okay. No matter what happens, it will be okay. You said, no, but here and now. I told you, it's not about here and now. The Master returns. You know all the parable Jesus gave? He will go, he will come, he will give them something, he will go, he will say, I will come back. He will come back. And so, we can be at peace no matter what's happening around us. Amen? Amen. Let me show you one scripture in John, 2 John. Just go to the back of the Bible, flip back this way. Before I look at Revelation 22. Can you remember Revelation 22:12? Are you sure? I said to memorize it. It's good. Behold, I come quickly. All right. We'll still look at it anyway. You know, this, again, is not in my notes, but this topic is one of my favorites. It flows from my heart. But you remember, you know that there's several parables Jesus gave. In the idea of several of them also is he cast a net, brought out all manner of stuff. You bring it to shore and sort them out later. Sort them out later. It's always, there is going to be a sorting out. You see it now. The parable of the tares, the guy came and sold tares. He said, let's uproot them. He said, wait, let's leave them. Can you remember? He said, at the end of the whole thing, we will separate them. It always comes there. These things will still be done. So most of the time, when you sit and say and cry, injustice, injustice, injustice. Don't worry. There's justice. He's called the judge of the whole earth. He will judge everything. So don't worry about injustice. Right? Jesus himself says not to worry about injustice. I told you last week, let him that is evil, let him continue. Let him continue. Say, don't worry. Then you'll be doing what you are doing. Say, I will come quickly and my reward is me. We'll settle this matter. It's beautiful. Remember this parable again. He said the master left and left one guy in charge. Then he beat them up, beat the servants. He said, blessed is the man whose master will come and return and find him doing the things he told him to do. You know, come back. He said, beat them. Do whatever you like. You are in charge now. I'm not around. When I come back, I will settle the accounts. There's always this, I will come back, and we'll settle this matter. So, don't bother. But I want to show you this. Look at what John is saying to believers. Look at what John is saying. In 2 John chapter number 1, just one chapter, verse number 8, look at what it says. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He's not talking about to be saved or not to be saved. You see that John's discussion to these people. He's not about say, look to yourself so that you make heaven know. That's the error. That's why I want to do this first. I'm going to go back to do it. He didn't say, look to yourself, you might not make heaven. He's not even talking about them not making it. How can you be right? You first of all say, look to yourself, because you don't know whether you will make it. He's not asking whether they will make it. He's saying, look to yourself, whether you will receive a full reward. He's discussing reward, not discussing making it or not making it. So if we don't settle the issue of your eternity, your destination, you will still be there and you will not be discussing reward. He is leaving this conversation of, imagine how if you have the guts to tell them to look to themselves whether they will receive a full reward, as far as he's concerned, they are already there. It's a matter of rewards he's talking about now. Can you come on, are we together? I'll show you more scripture. I just wanted to use that and appetize that to start. Because I want to go back and talk about, behold, I come quickly. Because that's why I'm doing it. Because the church, he said, look to yourself. Like, be careful. All you are careful about now is not careful to make it. It's careful to ensure you receive a full reward. Guys, you collect everything. You know? Not while you do small. Nah, you go and swell everything. Later, swell everything. Then later, you're not going to say, this is everything. So, full reward is what you are looking to. All right. Are we together? After giving a cup of cold water, yeah, you're going to slap the man on the other side. He said, you're just, look to yourself whether you receive a full reward. We can teach that in several ways. Apostle Paul says that the heart, he said, Jesus will come and judge the heart. Can we just enjoy ourselves? Really? He said, we just started, and you're all looking at me like that. I said, can we just enjoy ourselves? Nobody answered me. Okay, because I don't want to follow my notes. I want to just show you. I'll just be showing you as we go now. It's not better that way. Let's not be... So the idea is that he said the motive of the heart is important. Let me show you praise of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number... Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians. So the full reward, I just want to show you when you say about full reward. So you are, what you are doing, you are putting your heart to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, I'll show you praise now. Verse number 1, let a man account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Are you there? Verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found what? Faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Verse number 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Paul says, don't judge me. Even if you judge me, I don't really care. Because you don't know me. Then he says, even me, I don't even judge myself. Like, I'm going to be the master of all of you from what I can see now. He said, forget it. I don't know nothing of myself. He said, I cannot even tell that depth of my heart. You get it? In verse 5. He now says, therefore, judge nothing. I'm going to do a series. I'm going to do the next few series. That will be online anyway. The Lord has told me so much about in this direction. But not just this revelation, eternal rewards, and judgment, and man, and this interest, this deep interest in judging people. We're so interested in judgment. Verse number 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of the heart and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have what? Praise of God. Are you seeing then? Then every man will have what? Praise of God. Do you consider praise of God when God Almighty will praise you? Praise, he said, there will be a praise of God. So, all we are doing this, you know, that time you used to say, is that many pastors will get there? You are really correct. Don't get to yourself in all this matter, because he will come and then he will give praise accordingly. We can't tell, nobody can tell. His judgment We can look at what is happening in Scripture and know that there's a reward, and if we do this, we get a reward. But the degree to which He rewards you for what you do, we can't tell. So Paul says, see, just relax and wait. There's no point to say, this person is going higher than this person. You can't really do that. Are you here? Sorry, did that one seem to veer you off? Why are you interested in judging somebody else? You see, now that's a problem. I just said, now look how you like confused. I should be able to tell that this person is higher than this person. Who says so? It's according to the grace that was given to you. So you should be maximizing your life, not pointing fingers to somebody else. You should wake up in the morning and say, I want to live for you, oh God, with this life I have. I'm just a tailor. Just tailoring. As you are tailoring with somebody, you are tailoring his life to Jesus Christ. I'm just this. As you are doing this, you are doing this. You are giving your best. That is why I keep saying this. I know that now, this will be the first time I'll be saying it on the plain forum and all that. I can't be giving awards. It doesn't make sense. I know. You see, they give award of the biggest giver. How can I know who gives best? No man can know. No man. You can give 15 million. You can give 800,000. The person who gave 800,000 could have given more than the person who gave 15 million. I cannot say the biggest giver to my ministry, the person who gave 15 million. I'm trying to be, let's not be, I don't be personal. Don't say I like my pastor. Don't like my pastor. Use your brain. It doesn't make sense. I can't say you gave more. I can't. Just give your best. Somebody say, if that be the case, it means that everybody will do what they like. Have they been taught rewards? Have they been taught to pursue Jesus? Have they been taught the praise that comes from God, not the praise that comes from man? Because it's easy when you go to a place and you can do and you can get the praise from man. But there's a praise that comes from God. If you have been taught that, give your best. Leave it. Leave your best. So if I give you an award now, I might be giving the wrong person an award. He will come. So why am I so interested in giving you an award when the judge, the ogre, with the master himself will come back? What's my own? I'm just a boy. Master will come. He knows everything. He knows all the money you kept back and the ones you gave. Somebody comes and then just and then somebody comes gives you and say the greatest, the biggest give everybody, oh glory. We give you an award because your participation in the gospel has been great. See, I agree. I salute you, sir. Thank you, sir. But the problem is that I cannot determine your participation because I don't know everything about you. I don't even know your motive following itself. The praise, we could have just even settled your matter, all your whole praise. You just collected it just now. They said, this year, they must call my name. Okay, we have called it. You have collected it. Moth, we eat it. It will rust and finish. Jesus said, be careful how you do your good deeds. That is where the interpreters of left hand and right hand, this is what they were talking about. He said, if you don't do it so that everybody will see, even your prayer, if you don't pray, everybody does. He says, you have collected everything you need to go. Your father who sees in secret, say, will reward you. No boy. Immediately we jump on somebody, I like doing this man, always with the chicken on the June bug. Reward you openly. Immediately we just jump on it, like the chicken on June bug on that verse and say, reward you openly. It means tomorrow morning I'll get car. The reward he meant then now, is it now, here, or openly later? Because at the end of the day, every man's praise will come from God. But you see that, you see what he said here when he says, every man will receive praise from God, right? There's a praise that comes from God. That's what I'm living for. There's a praise. It will come from God. Will praise you. And that one, will praise you in front of from everybody. Look at John chapter 12. Take your Bibles there. John chapter 12. John 12. Let's go there. Verse number 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many did what? Believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. There's a praise of men. There's a praise of God. He said they loved men's own. They know God's praise. They know. This guy, this chief rulers, they knew scripture more than you and I. They were just quoting the whole thing from God. Probably just trying to quote Deuteronomy from beginning to ending. I can't even remember the names.
Sometimes you people really stop to appreciate those things. He can stand and quote Deuteronomy from Deuteronomy chapter 1. He will quote it from his stand and finish it to the ending. Nothing to him. Can you even quote John chapter 1? Don't mess them. These guys know this stuff. But they loved. They could not. They did not. They said they loved. Don't tell scripture. They loved the praise. They said, rather, let this man praise me more than the praise that God will give me. I love more. So should I go on? Have you understood it? He didn't say they love this praise. They didn't know there was praise from God. No, they knew. And they said, this one, where people will praise me and come to my house and they'll be happy and I'll not be number one. He says it's higher. Than they love it more than that one. At least, now yeah, everything finished. You will, later, I don't know. But they found a way to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I said they found a way because I can't find a way to it. I mean, how will I want what you say, think about me, to what he says, thinks about me? Think whatever you like. You have your freedom, think what you like. What he thinks of me is more important. That's my pursuit. Because one day, I'll keep telling my pastors, all these things will finish. Everything will finish. All these things, microphone, keyboard, everything will finish. We will stand before God. All the money, the car you drive, finish, it will finish. There will be no driving car again. Everything will finish. So I want to live for now. Somebody say, now you don't understand. Now is very important. I can't put a gun on your head. Even I will tell you that now is nothing. But if you want to continue, good luck. We can quickly turn to Revelation. Maybe the Revelations will help you, Abby. Oh yeah, turn. Revelations 22:12. Let's look at it. Stop all these things, all these petty things you are looking for, pursuing this, say, I can't do this one, I can't do that. There's a reward coming. Just tell yourself, look for the reward. There's a praise that comes from God. He will praise you. He will praise you. The master will come back and say, boy, say, well done. Say, you brought that. Say, look at what you did. This is what you did. Good job. Come. And when you say, come, and they say, sit down. He say, come and rule 10 cities. Say, come and rule. Come and do some work. Someone say that the word of good work is what? It's more work. Give you greater work, greater responsibility. That's what we should be looking for. That's what they were looking for. The church understood this thing. They understood judgment. They understood reward from God. John said, look to yourselves that you see a full reward. We are talking about look to yourself, whether you go to heaven, whether you make it or not. So I'll quickly go back to that. Can I just do this so that we'll quickly go and start touching that? So I want to solidify you on that path so that when you cross that path of you now know where you are, you can now begin to do all your activities for reward. Because when you don't know where you are still trying, oh God, this one, that one. You are still living in a plane. But when you leave that part, you now start living in another plane and doing so much more for God. Where is it down to again? Alright, Revelation 22:12. Okay, we looked at Revelation 22:12. It was in the course of my teaching, we now say, let's look at 11. Verse 11, first of all. In verse 11, look at what Jesus said. Verse 10, let's start from verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the saying of this prophecy, of this book. For the time is what? It's at hand. Don't seal it. Don't worry. Don't cover it. Just leave it. The time is at hand. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12. Come on, everybody. You see it now? So don't bother about seeing these prophecies. Time is at hand. But anybody that wants to be doing anything, let him be doing. I'm coming. Just now. My reward is with me. I'll give everybody what they have, what they deserve. Let them continue. Do what you like. When you are seeing, so you say, where is God? Don't worry. He's coming. Come on. So when you are doing something and somebody is coming, you don't fight him. Oh God. Will you allow me to preach to you? Don't fight him. The judge is coming. Let him continue. He said, he slap you one side, turn the other side. Continue, slap. Slap. No problem. This matter. The judge is coming. If somebody is working for you and you are the ogre. So you stupid girl. You can be an idiot. Continue. He says, it's just this is the servant girl. He brought her from the village to help me. Treat her like nothing. The Bible says you have a master. that is also above it. Not because you don't say, ah, this life, eh? You are too looking at this. You are always looking at this life. There's another life. Don't worry. Say, if I can, you have gone, just go and shoot her. If you shoot her, you are in trouble. Don't interfere with the matter. There is a judge. Say, I will do this woman. What will do? And one day, when I burn her, say, don't think all those thoughts. If you can help the lady by giving money, giving her a better job, something, fine. But don't start thinking that you will do, you want to become the compensationer. You want to, because she has done bad, she must get bad. It's not your role to give anybody bad. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Abi, I will want, I will repay. Leave it. You say, but this girl is suffering, this unjust. She will gain it again. Yes. You see, it's faith. Oh God. Faith. All you are saying, she's suffering here. You are telling me she will gain later again. Yeah, that's how people always say. You see the problem? Do you have faith? Come on. I mean, really, are you people here? Do you have faith? This will touch your faith deeply. It's a question of your faith. He will see you. He will do it. He will take care of you. But he is taking care of her. He will settle the matter. Every matter must not be settled today. No, it mustn't. That one thinking like that. That one is eternal. He's more interested in that one than here. Why will a good God put somebody in that kind of condition? It must be a wicked God. No, it's not a problem. It's not a wicked God. Everything is balanced. Everything will be balanced at the end of the whole day. So it's no good. He's a good God. Come on. Because you start to ask those questions, start to go, because everything you are seeing is her suffering now. If you are in that position, if you are in that kind of condition, I'm talking to you today. You are in that kind of condition and you're going through something and you don't just see everything now. Don't think it has finished when it has finished here. No, there's so much more. So you continue. So how will you be able to continue? What will give you the strength to continue? You continue serving. You say, no, I'm not the one to judge you. God will judge you. I'll do my best. I'll keep doing my stuff and go. God, who is your judge? I took the name Daniel as my name also. I don't know, I just said, God, who is your judge? Daniel means God is my judge. He will judge me at the right time. He will do what needs to be done. So it's not for me to determine how you do and judge every other person. I just keep living for God. Because I know that there is another life after this one. And everything balances. Remember the story of Lazarus? I've not even been privileged to turn there, but remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Share everything ended at the end of the day. God didn't have verse and give him a car and two houses and mansion to show the rich man. He doesn't need to show anybody here and now. He's not in a hurry like you and I. He must see. So you see, this life, he must see it in this life. Why must we live like that? Do we have faith the master is going to come back? He's going to return. It will affect the way we live. Come on. They've gone home already. And you preach soteria. So you can command money to come. You like that one, have you? I agree. I know. We know that part. Let's still know this part too. It's also important. Because there are times you command, it didn't come. See that you already commanded, he came and passed and went to the other side. And you still have it here, but you want it here. You see it now. We should know everything. We cannot throw this doctrine away. We can't. The doctrine of the master is coming back. It's a very important doctrine. When the church loses this, the church has lost vital power. It's as if you remove fuel from the car. The car won't move. Because there's nothing to move for. There's nothing to live for. There's nothing in front anymore. You're asking yourself so many questions. If you just kill this man now and take this 3 million, just kill him. Just do it. He doesn't know. Just kill him. Just take it. But you know that there's a judge. You know that everything does not end here. You don't even need to pray, oh Lord, give me the strength to resist. Not resisting. It's this doctrine will give you strength to be able to say no. You say yes. It's just simple. Because there's no point to do this. The master is coming back. Then you don't need to teach. The master is coming back. The master is coming back. Let's not be afraid and be shaking. The master is coming back. So be repent. Be afraid because the master will come and check. No, that's not how it's supposed to be taught. Are you ready to meet your maker? You have to be ready. We have to go. No. It's a doctrine that should be in our hearts, burning every day. We don't need to cry about it. We don't need to be burning so easy. And then if you really think about it, it's true. We get to that point. Yes. Are you ready? Are you sure? Can you do more to get more? I want to get the maximum reward. Remember, John talked about a full reward. Are you here? Behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. I will give unto every man according as his work shall be. So our giving, when we give, come on. Come on. When we spend time praying, when we spend time loving somebody, when we are persecuted for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoice in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. Are you still here? A cup of cold water. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As you come around to church to learn God's word, on Wednesday you are there, on Sunday you are there, you say, I'm coming, you're going to church. As you are seeking him, as you take your Bible and read, as you say, Lord, I'm seeking him, praying, Lord, I love you. And he says, a rewarder. Just seeking him, he rewards you. Giving somebody a cup of cold water, he says, you're given. Wait, how many can remain for you? He said, we will not lose a reward. That motivates us to give. Yes, see, how come you can give me? I'm trying to break the spirit of stinginess. Don't break it. Just know that if I give you something now, I will get it back. Yeah, it didn't lose. There's no lose loss. If I give my time, my energy, my talent, I'm trying to show everybody. Please, I'll come to the drum. I come to the work you do. You play drum, or you come and sweep the church. They say on Saturday, this zone 2 is sweeping church. You come, you sweep, do all that. You say after I sweep church, finish, God will give me car and house. What's the problem? After you sweep church for 2 years, 2 years, no car and house. I need to sweep again. The solution is, so I've been sweeping church for 5 years now. 5 years. Where is God? He's gathering it, gathering everything and keeping for you. He said he wants to keep it there. It's better there than here. There you will spend it for eternity. Here you will spend it finished. Then I know all this runs through your mind. Don't worry. Because it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit is our deposit. No, he gives you, he blesses us here. But the bulk of it is there. He keeps us here. The bulk of it is there. What's in your mind is here. I want it here. Do you believe he is wiser than you? The person who made the whole arrangement definitely made a good arrangement. You gave him your life because you trust him. Would you trust him? Would you have faith? He says, is this really there? I can't see it. I can't touch it. It's really there. I can't see it. I've not seen one mansion. I've not seen anything. But I know he said it. Because he said it, I believe it. It's not only the God said it, I believe it, to claim car and house. God said it. Did he not say he has mansions for you? Do you believe it? Does that not settle the matter? He settles it for me. I've not seen any treasure there. But he said that it is there. And he says he has kept it there. So every time you give your time, your talent, you can, anything you do, not just your church, you love somebody, you won't see somebody anywhere, you help this person, you keep this thing for yourself, okay, yeah, let me do, you promise this person something, you just help someone to make somebody's life be a blessing because of Christ. It's because not just for you, because of Christ. He said there's a reward for you. Are you still here? That's a good foil. It doesn't finish. I don't know how. Can you really appreciate that? Say it has gone. If I've just done it, that means I've just done it. I've done it. It's okay. No. It's not done. It's okay. He will reward you for it. He said, rejoice. Great is your reward in the heaven. He said it. Why do we play with that? He said, when you do a feast, when you have a feast, he said, invite the lame. We looked at all this last week. I don't want to turn. I have other thing to do. Invite them. He said, those people, they can't repay you. He said, but you will be repaid. You will repaid. They can't repay you here. But you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When I come again, when we raise the just, I will give you back. You know that all that money you spent for that guy, he said, I will give you back. He can't give you anything. But if you give it to somebody who can give you back, he said, you have your reward. Invite me back. He said, so try. So you know, see, so what you will be trying to do is to serve in places, hidden places, where nobody sees you, nobody knows you, nobody will come and give you stuff, but you serve, you help, you cover this and you do all that. He said, I'll repay you back. He said, we'll repay you. Are you here? We'll give you back. See, that time you gave for this project, or that time you gave to that young man, you just took pity and because of the love, my love in your heart, you were able to help him support that man. Hey, it's not 10,000 you gave him. He said, I want to give you 30,000. You said, no, 30,000 is too much. It's only 10,000 I give him. He said, no, I'm a rewarder. Like, I'm full. I have abundance. I want to just show you part of my greatness. Take 30. You pack 30. He said, hey, the other time. He said, no, this one is enough. He said, no. He said, I don't want to show you. He will keep packing, giving to you till you are full. Then you look at heaven. You look at heaven. When you look at heaven, you are there, eternity. You have so much to spend for eternity. Eternity for life. From that time, it doesn't finish. At that time, there's no debt. That time, if you have a car, you have it forever. That is forever then. When I say forever now, what you are thinking forever now is the 80. No, that one is eternity. Do you understand? Is that not the better place to have it? It is an argument. It's an argument. I'm saying this because what I mean is an argument. I mean, you need to let it down on you and let it sink into you. Because not for, nobody can make you do anything. You can say, you can even say, but if I can have it here, so that I can use it here. I know, let it give me. Prodigal son did it. You'll not be the first one to do it. You'll not be the first. Say, give me. Say, okay, take now. It never works for anybody. Hallelujah. All right. Rewards. There's no, I can't just start talking about salvation before I talk about this stuff. So, can we now talk about our destination? So when we talk about our destination this week, I can finish what I wanted to do. Then next week, if I can't finish, we'll continue. But we're going to begin to talk about, we'll show you, and I'll give you more scriptures. I know I've given you some scriptures already, but I can give you more scriptures. But let's settle, and so we can help other people settle their destination. Right? Our destination is a consequence of our belief. It's not about what we do. Now, in teaching scripture, are you here? In teaching scripture, there's the issue, the problem of taking the reward scriptures and turning it to the reason for salvation, the making heaven. But if you read English normally, you don't have that problem. If you do this, you make heaven. No, you don't do anything to make heaven. You do stuff to get rewards in heaven. You don't do anything to make heaven. You can't do anything to make heaven. I started showing you some scriptures last week. But can we look at, let's just step back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Because if you take the scripture, Jesus said, I come quickly, my word is with me. If you don't understand the scriptures and understand that and this word, you will miss the things we do to get rewards as the things we do to go to heaven. No. We do them to get rewards. The way scripture speaks to us about us, it's quite different. I'll show you. Romans chapter 5, are you there? I love the scripture so much. Please try and memorize all these scriptures. They just boil up in your heart. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Come on. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. All right, I'm not there yet. I want to look at it. All right. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. How? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we have peace with God by what? Faith. We are justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see this true here? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace, do I have you here? Yes, The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, you see, the gift, that one is a gift. Salvation is a gift. You get this gift by what? Believing. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see it now. It's a gift. You get this gift by believing. Being justified freely by faith. Okay, I didn't quote it well. Sorry, let's go back again. The wages of sin is in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. I want to say it because of this verse. But the gift of God is eternal life. What? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. This gift comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God again through our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, we receive a gift from God. That gift is what? Eternal life, is salvation. He gives it to us instantly. Instantly. Are you here? Can you see that? Look at verse number 2. By whom also we have access, by what? Faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By him, by whom? He didn't say by what we do. He's talking about the person now. By whom we have access into this grace on which we stand. So the salvation is a gift. It's yours. He gives you as a gift. The wages of sin is dead, but the gift of God is eternal life. He gives you as a gift. Are you here? That is the certainty of destination. So the cross settles our stand with God. It gives us an assurance of salvation. And this assurance of salvation is the difference, is the standard difference, the only difference between Christianity and every other religion. Every other religion, they are trying to please their God. But the cross of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection gives us an assurance that no other person has. They didn't die for them for sin or everything. They just came to show them the way to enlightenment. The way to salvation. No, Jesus didn't show us the way to salvation. He made a way for us. This is beautiful. Do you understand this? So now when we come to him, through him, not by our works, through him, we just enter into salvation. So that part, once you settle that part, you now say, all right, so when I now pray, when I now give, when I now do this, what will I be getting? Now we say you'll be getting reward from there. He has opened bank account for you. Right? So when they open bank account for you, so be putting deposits. If you don't know you have bank accounts, how do you get deposits? How do you put deposits? You go and deposit it. That is why, are you here? This is good. We do this as a church. That is why somebody that does good works but has not received Jesus Christ is losing. Is doing nothing. You can't deposit in an account you don't have. Jesus has to open your bank account. It's only his card you can use to open your bank account. So you can be doing all the good. The good won't get you to heaven. That code, you must bring that code. Once you bring that code, the open account, you cannot be doing good and be depositing. So if you do all those good and you've not received Jesus Christ, you've not received that gift, that account, you've not opened account number, there's no way. So you will still miss it. Last week we looked at the book of life, Abby. I'll do that later. Let's still look at one. Okay, that's my number 2. Let's just do it here. Let's do it. This is a good point, right? Oh yeah, jump. Revelations 20. The book and the books. Revelation chapter number 20. I'm enjoying this. I'm not enjoying the preaching of it. I'm enjoying what it's doing to you. I can see your heart. I'm saying, okay, if this is this, then that is that. You can now be more. You can now do more. When we say outreach, we're not saying, please, we invite you. You come for outreach. You know that if you come back from work by 5:30, you quickly change, or you come directly and go for out, you say there's a reward for me. You say, I'm tired. I know you are tired. You know you are tired. We don't need to now push you and play all manner of games. If you don't win souls, God will not be happy with you. You will not even have blessing. That's why you are struggling in your life.
I'm saying, let me win so I can get money. Let me win so that God will now bless me. I have to try. Then later you say, when you just hit 50K enter your account, boah.
Win so. What do I need it for? It's coming regularly. I will not even win so. I have job now. So win so or no win so, all those money that God will give you if you win so, I don't care.
Motivation goes. Once your boyfriend,
you say, boyfriend has traveled out. Is they like, say, win so. Say, when you win so, God will now give you your job. Say, I don't even need job. He will send me money to open my own store. So, God can keep his job.
No, that's not it. We make everything, you see it now? Petty and here. That's not it. You win a soul for God. It's not just a reward you will get here. It's his praise you get in heaven. Praise in heaven.
This house. Because like I've told you, you know, on Wednesday I was teaching you also. Although I was a little bit angry on Wednesday, I think we can't publish that. I think my tone was a little bit too like this.
It's annoying. Really, if you sit down and look at it, it's annoying.
Just this come so that you just get all those things. You can just get a job. You settle all those matter.
Simple. Why would you do that? Why would you preach to somebody and say, if you give your life to Christ then, sister, if you give your life to Christ, God will now bless you with money. He will bless you with money. Things. Yeah, you say, you don't get money, Abby. Me, I get. I don't know Jesus. So I don't really need him. You see, you don't have enough money. There's still more money that God wants to give you that you don't have. Now I say, now you say, there's peace with the money. I just pay policemen, they're all around me. So you just keep doing that. What about, you don't tell him about his soul. He can buy many things here, but he can never, when he stands before his God, all those things will vanish. Then he really will say, I don't have that peace with God. I seem to have everything I need, but there's something empty inside me. No purpose to my life, no meaning. I don't even know what to do. Now I have money, I'm even stupid stuff. What do I do with my life? He will give your life a meaning. He will give your life a purpose. He will give you a direction. Everything will begin to work. So giving your life a meaning is powerful. If you just say it to money, it's not work. Giving your life a meaning is powerful. Are we turning somewhere? I'm enjoying myself. Revelation 20. Okay, Revelation 20. When I begin to ask you where I'm going to, I'm enjoying myself too much. And I hope you're enjoying yourself too. No, when you get back home, tell others about this teaching. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors, tell them, because it will make a difference in their life. Many believers have never heard this teaching before. They never even know something like this. They are still struggling to make heaven. They don't know that they have an assurance of heaven already. The cross is our assurance. The cross is the defining work. It assures us. In verse number 11 of Revelation chapter 20, we read this last week, so we'll just run through it. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's whosoever was not found his name written in the book of life. It's not a matter of what they did to that point. It was about writing a name. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see now? It's not about what they did. You know, but I don't know if you fell under this fell on top on this thing also, that the thing you do, the last thing you are just doing. Say, if you are just doing something of that thing, it's not what you like, do what you like. The last thing you are doing before you just die. The question you usually ask those people is the cross. Where does the cross come in? Where is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ? Where is the gift? Come on. Are you here? So he says, "Let me. Can I want to walk this walk? This is walk. I'm ready for it. Are you ready?" And whosoever, look at 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So he now quickly tells us the book of life. Remember the books and the other book. The book and the books. The books contain the deeds of the wicked people. Then he will now judge them according to the evil they did. Then to be judged according to evil. Come on. And then hell, that everybody's afraid of. He said, that is a joke. Hell, death, they will not be cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15 just put a clear line for us quickly. Whosoever's name was not found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. So the thing is easy for us if you want to look at it. It's not a matter of name in the book of life or not. Right? Simple, that's it now. It's no longer what it is. Whosoever, if his name is there, there's no problem. Then the question, if you are sharp, you now go to the next question. How do I now get my name written there? Or if you don't want to do how, you now say, are you sure? How do you know that somebody's name is written there? Can you know now? It's till that day. Let me tell you, nobody can know. Till that day, when we stand there, that's when you will now know. There's no assurance. So just, they do, they go. Be careful. No, that's not true. That's not scriptural. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Because the idea is, till that day, you can't know. You just be going. You just say, you know, they say, your name is not there. You say, I thought my name was there. I thought I didn't do well. No, you didn't do well, so your name is not there. No. You can actually know. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Only one person shows. If nobody says shows, there's no points now. Since people are not ready to show you now. He said, she opened the book. Okay. Pastor, he said she opened the book. Open the book. All right. Let me show you now. Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. Look at what Jesus said. Luke 10:19. All right. Luke 10:19, not 19:10. Jesus says in Luke 19:10, he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. It's a definite work, to seek and to save. Not just to seek. After he seeks them, he will save them. But Pastor, why do people miss this thing? Sincerely, no. I can only on that scripture I can stand and go. He came to seek and save. He didn't come to just seek and show them and walk away. To save them also. But he not say they are not saved. They are not sure. They don't know. He said he came to seek and to save. He has saved them already, but they say they are not saved. That hell, lake for fire you are seeing, it is the wrath to come. That's what we are saved from. We're not saving us from Satan. We are saved from the wrath to come. The wrath of God. That's what he saved you from. There's a wrath of God coming on all disobedience. He's going to pour fire on all disobedience. All people, everybody that walk in their own lust. Jesus said, you don't want to fall into God's trouble. Let me help you. Let me save you. So he came to save us from the wrath to come, not from the Satan. Satan is the people holding people, that are making them do the things they do against God. He bound the guy, pushed him away, and then saved him and said, Do be like this, because if you follow this guy, what will come at the end is trouble. Satan can't do you anything, it's God that can do you something. You see, Satan can just kill you. After I kill you, finish. He can't do you anything from there. Once he kills you, he has finished. He can't do anything. God, when God catch you. No deliverance from God's hand, though. I'm not afraid of Satan. I can't be thinking of fear of Satan. It's God, fear of God that is important. You see, if they say, okay, you take your car, you just rubbish your life. Finish. Don't rubbish your life, finish. That's all you can do. That's what he does to their children. The issue, the thing that will happen to his children, is not coming from him. It's coming from God. The suffering they will suffer, it's not coming from him anymore. After he has finished rubbish their life, God will not judge them for the evil they did. So you see that Satan is not the person to bother about. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Notwithstanding. Did you see that now? Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. This is not the issue. That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. It must be in a book now. Your names are written. So that's the real thing. You see that now? He says, so don't you just say Jesus, when we say out, he came out. Go, he went. You see, we are too much now. He said, that one is nothing. That one is not the major thing now. What you should rejoice in. So stop. I thank God you got that. You got that. But stop. He says, rejoice that your names are written. He's not saying that on the last day when you get there, you will now know whether your names are written. Your names, they are there. Rejoice because your names are written. So you can. Are you saying, Abby? That's an assurance. So you can be here and know that your names are written. It's not the day you arrive before him, you now say, let them check. That's not the day they are checking. He says, rejoice because your names are written. Are you there? You already have an arrangement. Jesus Christ. Because of your belief in him. Imagine you believe in him and what he did for you, they write your name. You see, he believes. Oh yeah, write his name. He's now Jesus' candidate. Everybody that, you know that candidate, you say, write his name. He believes. They write the name. Finish. Are you here?
Yes,
Scripture number one. Scripture number two, Philippians. So you can know your names are written. I know that my name is there. So you cannot know. How would you just say that? If that day you will open the book and check. No, Jesus said rejoice that your names are written there. So you can be happy about it. He says, notwithstanding. He said, I give you power. You know that's where they stop. Authority. You trample on snakes and scorpions. Nothing will harm you. He says, notwithstanding all those talk, don't be happy about that pastor. That should not be your the main matter. The main matter that you rejoice in actually. Alex, see this now. See, the main matter you read that your names are there. Because your names are not there. If you like, jump up and down, you are wasting your time. If you like, you just jump up and down. You don't be doing this. You can do it, no problem. You say, but rejoice that your names are there. In Philippians chapter number 4, Paul says this again. With assurance. Paul does not know whether his name is there or not. He now even knows the other people's names that are there. I'll show you. Look at this now. Look at it. Not one person, not two people. He knows other people's names. So we can say your name is there. So if I tell you your name is there just now, let me check your response. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 2. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse number 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life? Does that help anybody here? So Paul says their names. He knows. He's not saying, hey, I don't know if my name is there. Let us pray if our name will be there. He's not even saying, Clement, Eudeus, Syntyche, all those my fellow laborers, all of them. See, their names are there. That's of life. And how did their names get there?
How did he know? So somebody can know somebody else. If I sit with you and I say, if you want to give your life, I say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life, I accept you as my Lord. I see your name is written there. Finish. I can know of somebody else. So have you seen the book? Have you seen the book? No, because he has given his life to Jesus. It means his name is written in the book of life. So it's not till he gets there that day. Immediately he gives his life to Jesus Christ, his name is written there. The fellows that asked the question are not here today. So there's not much I can do. The best you can do as a pastor is to preach. The best you can do is to come and hear the preaching. I can't preach everything in one Sunday. You can't answer all your questions from now. When I'm going to be alive till I'm 85. I can't preach. You can't give me I still have preaching to preach. So you can't just wait and finish everything. So you have to keep coming. Keep hearing these things. I keep telling you stuff. Amen? So we can be certain. So this is not him bothered about his name. This is him saying their names are there. Amen? His names are there. And the only way he will know is because of something they have done. It's not the whether they've conducted a crusade. Because those guys were certain that they've not considered a crusade. It must have been one thing that he can know they did, which is Jesus, I give you my life. Hallelujah. So, question number one. Answer all questions. Is your name in the book of life? Okay. Question number two. Is my name in the book of life? Okay. So you can know of somebody else. You can know of your own. How? Give the person had given his life to Jesus Christ. If he has confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior, his name is there. I thought at this point you'd be clapping for me and saying I'm too much. You say that you are too much. You say you are too much. And then somebody says he has received praise from men. That's the end. Oh, Solomon, God. Oh, God. I love Jesus. Oh, God. All right. Are we blessed today? Yes, sir. So let us, let's leave it at that. I can't finish. I still have some scriptures to do. But I can't finish, right? So can we finish up next week? Yeah, so we'll finish up this sub next. Because now with this, you are going to rewards. You're no longer saying, my name, will I make it? You have finished making it now. Make some rewards. Get a full reward. Full reward. Get a full reward. So we'll start talking about that last week, but let's go because of time. I still have some features to show you and to make you see that. So that you can, now you will know, you can even help other people. See, we don't know when we get it that day, we will know who made it. Like, real? As in, Paul said their names are written. Paul, how can a man? Not Jesus said, you could say Jesus know the book. Okay, how does Paul know the book? He said, all my family members said their names are written in the book of life. He said it authoritatively. So we have this now. So the cross, let me tell you, so let me say this so that you can have something to stand, hold. The cross gives us an assurance of salvation. I didn't just say Jesus. I said the cross. The cross of Jesus gives us an assurance of salvation. That is why he came to die, to give us that assurance, to give us a blue tick that settles that matter. So on that matter of salvation, once you come to the cross and you receive Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, then you are saved. Somebody says, but I do bad things. Ah, God, that is another Sunday. If you say I should start, I can start now. I don't need to wait another Sunday. But it's you that will die. It's not me. It's my work. I like it. I even enjoy this teaching. Of all the teachings, I love teaching. You say, if they ask you, what's your pastor's best teaching? This teaching is so wide world. It's the afterlife. That's my best one. And I teach Greek Zoe, righteousness, money come to me. I can show you everything. But this one is like I'm inside my natural element to show it to you. Because I don't know. It's been a passion for my own hard drive from time. You see, when we err, he doesn't punish us. He has chastisement. That's judgment here and now. Finish this matter. Here and now. Then we don't even need to get there. We can judge ourselves. The Bible says it. The problem is that people have not really read the Bible. That's the truth, is that people just read two things. They say, I've had this passion. Go on Facebook, do a video, write something, do a video. Just like everybody, once they just read three lines of a book, They just go on Facebook and start. You start sharing. You just share. People, they've not really read the book. Neither have they met the person.
I'm sorry. It's not bad. Do say all you want to say. That I'm not. That we will tell me to talk. I will talk. Well, don't just talk.
He said we can judge ourselves. So I can go into error. And I'm not waiting for judgment. I will judge and say I'm wrong. Guess what I will do? I will repent.
Okay. Finish. It has finished.
At that point, where you now take it and say, this stuff is error. No. And turn away.
Finish. Just say it. So it's no problem anymore.
If you coexist in it, he will say, all right, let's help him. Let's help him. Let's see if we can bring him to the path. Let's bring him to the path. Remove your hand. Chastisement. Then he will say, ah, Lord Jesus. He will send people your way. He will do everything your way. They'll talk to you. They'll preach on Sundays. They'll talk to you. Do all that. That is not the matter that he's keeping. He's not keeping that one. That matter don't keep. Oh, they don't keep. He doesn't keep that one till that last day. Just telling you now. That's why you have the Holy Spirit also. He tells you. See, but I do bad things. So therefore, I must go to hell. Jesus Christ died for you. Died for your sin. Destroyed the sin nature. Now, you have to get rid of that nonsense and begin to focus on reward. Focus on reward. And the more you are focused more on reward, the more less you are thinking of I do bad things. Do you see why this teaching is important? My big brother, thank you. I like the nod. When somebody nods like this, I'm more comfortable than you're looking at me straight. You see, it's because now, I'm not thinking of what to go and do bad thing or not to do bad thing. I'm thinking of how to get more. So you say, this one, hi, I will give. Because I'm thinking in that direction, not thinking in this direction. But yes, you could still err. And if you err, you can judge yourself so that you don't be judged. The Bible talks about judgment starting at the house of God. What does that imply? That ceiling will fall. People are thinking stupid stuff. It means it's straightening us out. Straightening us out now. You straighten us out, then get there, and then straighten them out. But for us, it's here and now. It's chastisement. It deals with us here and now. As children. Come on, as children. The Bible says, Jesus taught as children. Are you here? So, we can. Now I'll not tell you. Next 3 weeks, I will do that work. I will not do it too. I will not do it now. Because this one is here on my neck. You're asking me to do another one. But we'll continue in that direction. Amen? Yeah. All right. God bless you.